Our text today is found in Esther chapter 9, beginning at verse 20. And Mordecai wrote these things, and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of the king of Ahasuerus, both nigh and far, to establish it among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month Adar, and the 15th day of the same yearly, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning unto a good day, and that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and of sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor. And the Jews undertook to do as they had begun, and as Mordecai had written unto them. Because Haman the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had devised against the Jews to destroy them, and had cast Pur, that is the lot, to consume them and to destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letters that this wicked device which he devised against the Jews should return upon his own head, and that he and his son should be hanged on the gallows. Wherefore they called these days Purim, after the name Pur. Therefore all the words of this letter, and of that which they had seen concerning this matter, and which had come unto them, the Jews ordained and took upon them, and upon their seed, and upon all such as joined themselves unto them, so it should not fail, that they would keep these 2 days according to their writing, and according to their appointed time each year, and that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, and that these days of Purim should not fail among the Jews, and the memorial of them perish from their seed. Our subject today is the Feast of Purim. The Jewish nation today still observes the Feast of Purim, which is, of course, in memory of the fact that they had been rescued by the decree of the king Ahasuerus and his putting the death of Haman. Today we're going to look at the Feast of Purim for just a few moments. There's a great lesson here and a great study, and I want you to listen like never before. We find, first of all, the Feast of Purim, or the purpose of the Feast of Purim, was a feast of remembrance. Now, remembrance of what? Remembrance of what they were at one time. And go back with me to Esther chapter 4 for just a moment and listen to verses 1 and 2 as we see it set forth. And this is what it says. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry and came even before the king's gate, that for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and feasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. And what was this? The purpose of the Feast of Purim was a feast of remembrance of what the Jews were at one time. And what were they? They were all to be put to death according to the decree of King Ahasuerus, set up by Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the enemy of the Jews, all right? Then I want you to notice again. We find in verse 8, we find Esther was also included in this. And Mordecai gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare unto her, to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make requests before him for her people. Now, how come? Because we find it was the only way to go. Now, a feast of remembrance of the Jews meant that they knew at one time what it meant to be under the judgment of the king. They knew what it meant to be under a death sentence. And my friend today, if the Lord God of heaven has ever reached down and saved you, I'll tell you right now, you can look back under your time of Holy Spirit conviction. Because you see, this is what it was. The picture of the Jews, they were under conviction. They were under the conviction of the law. And they were under conviction of death. And we find they couldn't save themselves. And so we see it had to be a supernatural deliverance on their part. And are you listening? That's always a picture of how God saves a sinner. The purpose of the Feast of Purim was, first of all, a feast of remembrance for the Jews. Now look again. Esther chapter 9, and we find verse 23 down through verse 28. And the Jews undertook to do as they had begun, and Mordecai had written unto them. Because Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had devised against the Jews to destroy them, and had cast Lur, that is the lot, to consume them and to destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letters that his wicked device, which he had devised against the Jews, should return upon his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. And are you listening? That's exactly what happened. And so you see, it was a feast of remembrance with regard to the Jews. It was a feast of remembrance that where they were, at one time they were under the death sentence, and then the feast of remembrance also brought them on how that they were rescued by divine intervention on the part of the king and also the queen. And we find this is a good thing. The second thing about the Feast of Purim is not only a feast of remembrance, because they don't ever forget it. And I'll tell you right now, if you've ever been converted, you'll never forget the time that God saved you. You'll never forget the time that you stood before God, a poor, lost, hell-bound sinner, suing for mercy and wondering if God would ever save you. And then to your amazement, He did so. And I'll tell you right now, you'll never forget that, because salvation is the greatest thing that could take place on your behalf. Then we find also the Feast of Purim was first of all a feast of remembrance for the Jews. Secondly, it was also a feast of redemption. Now in Esther chapter 9 and verse 20 through 22, we read these words. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of the king of Ahasuerus, both nigh and far, to establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month, Adar, and the 15th day of the same yearly, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning into a good day, and that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and of sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor. That almost sounds like Christmas for the believer, does it not? But you see, the Feast of Purim, its purpose was, first of all, a feast of remembrance. All right. Secondly, it was a feast of redemption. In other words, the Jews recognized that they were rescued by King Ahasuerus at the behest of Esther and Mordecai. And we find it became a feast of redemption because the Jews could not save themselves. They stood before their enemies, hopeless and helpless and hapless, until the decree came where they were to stand for themselves and defend themselves. It was a feast of redemption. And I want to ask you a question. Do you ever go back and ask yourself to examine the time when the Lord saved you? Can you remember that, my friend? I've talked to people today down through these years, and some of them have said point blank, I don't remember a thing about it. Well, if you don't remember getting saved, my friend, then put it down. You haven't been. Because nobody can get saved and not know it. It's the greatest experience you're going to have this side of eternity, as this experience with Esther was the greatest experience the Jews had with regard to their lifestyle. And we find it was a feast of remembrance. It was a feast of redemption. And then we find also, what was it? It was a feast of rejoicing. Again, Esther chapter 9, verse 23. And the Jews undertook to do as they had begun, and as Mordecai had written unto them, because Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had devised against the Jews to destroy them, and had cast lots, that is, the lot to consume them and to destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letters that this wicked device which he had devised against the Jews should return upon his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. Wherefore, they called these days Purim, after the name Pur. Therefore, for all the words of this letter, and of that which they had seen concerning this matter, and which had come unto them, the Jews ordained, and took upon them, and upon their seed, and upon all such as joined themselves unto them, that it should not fail, and that they should keep the 2 days according to their writing, and according to their appointed time every year. If not, these days should be remembered and kept. How long? Throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city. And that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed. And we find, what was it? It was a feast of rejoicing, was it not? Because in verse 22, and the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was returned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning into a good day, and that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and of sending portions one to another, and of gifts to the poor. Now, my friend, here's a feast of rejoicing. And I want to ask you a question. Do you rejoice in your salvation? Can you go back to the time when you remember that God reached down and saved you? Well, you may not know the exact second, or hour, or day, maybe even year, but you remember the time that God reached down and saved you, won't you? And what happened? Your sorrow was turned into joy. You stood before God, a condemned sinner, and yet the Lord God of heaven sent you away justified. You came to the cross, bearing all your sin, and trembling with anguish inside. You expected God's worst, but instead He gave you His best. And what did He do? He sent you away justified. That's what happens to every believer. This feast, or the Feast of Purim, was a feast of rejoicing. And don't ever forget that. And we find they keep that in mind. Then, it was also a feast of restriction. Now you say, preacher, what are you talking about? Verse 26. Wherefore they called these days Purim, after the name of Pur. Therefore, for all the words of this letter, and of that which they had seen concerning this matter, and which had come unto them, the Jews ordained and took upon them, and upon their seed, and upon all such as joined themselves unto them, so as it should not fail, that they would keep these 2 days according to their writing, and according to their appointed time every year. Now that made it a feast of what? Restriction. In other words, they weren't going to forget that. And then also, I want you to notice, it was a feast of restriction because only Jews and the proselytes could take part. Now, why do I tell you this? Well, my friend, it's a picture again of how God saves a sinner, if you just stop and look at it for a moment or two. Nobody can tell you how the Lord saved you except you, because nobody can lead you to Christ. Nobody has the right to try to do so as far as that goes. They need to point you to Christ and pray for you, but not to try to force you to come to Christ by so-called means that are going on at this present hour. And you see, we have today in our churches too many professing individuals who have never really met the Lord God of heaven. But in the days of the Feast of Purim, I'll tell you right now, they would go back and remember where they were. They would go back and remember what they were facing. And they would go back and remember also how they were delivered. That they were delivered supernaturally, and that they were delivered graciously, and they were delivered personally, and they were delivered absolutely. And I'll tell you right now, it's a picture again of a sinner looking back and seeing what God has done for him in his great salvation. That's why I said before, salvation is the greatest thing that can ever happen to an individual. Because, you see, the Feast of Purim is a picture of the prophecy, of the testimony of every believer who ever gets converted. Now you say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, the testimony of every true believer is this. One time, I was a hell-bent, hell-bound, and hell-deserving sinner. I stood before God facing absolute judgment because the wrath of God rested upon me. I did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, I found also that the entire world didn't care if I died and went to hell. Nobody seemingly was interested in my soul, and it's still going on at this present hour, isn't it? Thirdly, the testimony of the believer is this, all right? I was forced to seek for outside assistance. I couldn't save myself. I tried. I did everything that was necessary. I probably joined the church, maybe got baptized, maybe even entered the ministry, and so on and so forth. But I'll tell you right now, none of these things held up, did they? I was forced to do what? Sue for mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners and that I was the sinner. And then, the amazing thing, I'll never forget it, and what is that? I was favored by the king and lifted above condemnation. And that's what happened with regard to the Jews. When King Ahasuerus had Haman destroyed, and what did he do? He told Mordecai, he said, write these letters and tell the Jews to stand for themselves. And what was it? It was a decree that was published unto all the people that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves of their enemies. In other words, they could stand up and defend themselves. All right? Now, when an individual is under conviction by God, the Holy Spirit, I'll tell you right now, we can't defend ourselves. Because, you see, there's nothing in us that is, enables us to do that. We stand before him completely helpless and hopeless and hapless because we are condemned by the law. Our mouths are shut. We have no testimony to give whatsoever except that we're nothing but a poor lost sinner. And then what happens is this. We are forced to seek for outside assistance. And that outside assistance is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Because neither is there salvation in any other given among men, whereby we must be saved. And that man is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, there's no other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. And there's only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Not only were we first forced to seek for outside assistance, but we were favored by the King and by the Lord God of heaven. And I'll tell you right now, we were also what? We were lifted above condemnation. That's why Romans 8:1 means a great deal to every believer. And this is what it says. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And how wonderful it is. At one time, we were condemned under the wrath of God. And we've been lifted up and brought above condemnation. And then you know what the last thing is this. We are filled with what? Gratitude and remembrance. These Jews never forget Purim. Even today, the Jewish people remember the Feast of Purim and to what happened and how Haman tried to destroy them. And I'll tell you right now, they're still filled with gratitude. And are you listening? If you're a saved person today, I'll tell you right now, your heart is filled with gratitude and remembrance of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you personally. Now this is what the Feast of Purim is all about. It not only has a characteristic for the Jews because it's restricted to them. You and I can't observe the Feast of Purim like they can, but we can look at it and understand very clearly. We see what it's talking about. It portrays how God saved us also, doesn't it? And you see, you'll find salvation on just about every page of the Word of God. Oh, I hope you know what I'm talking about. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Nortier of the Mercies of God saying goodbye for now, and oh, may the Lord spare you before it's too late.